Douglas Crook, Wednesday, April 25th, 2012.
In our little study booklet, we are on page 37, under the heading of industriousness or hardworking or a good work ethic, profitable and productive worker. And we actually ended on last week on Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Let's go back and read that one, because the one that we're ready to begin is somewhat related to this one. So let's go back and read Proverbs 13 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now last week we noticed how important it is for us to understand that whether we're talking about natural endeavors or spiritual endeavors, if we want to be productive, it's going to take investment of time and energy, and there's a cost. And this is true in natural things, but of course our biggest concern is concerning spiritual matters, because the spiritual things are eternal. And when we are industrious, when we are, in a better New Testament term, when we are faithful in the things of the Lord, there are eternal benefits. And when we fail to be faithful, when we are spiritually lazy, there are eternal consequences for that in the spiritual realm. So we really want to pay attention to this wisdom concerning spiritual things and apply the wisdom to the things that we've been called to as the children of God. All the things that we are told in Scripture that we are to dedicate ourselves to for God's glory and for our edification and for the edification of God's people, we need to be faithful in those things, or in the terms that we're looking at in Proverbs, to be industrious, to be hardworking, rather than to be lazy. It'll cost you time, energy, to study, to pray, to meditate, to serve others, and to assemble yourself together as we are here tonight. Again, it costs you something to be here. And fewer and fewer of God's people are willing to make those to suffer those losses, to make those sacrifices. And it will lead little by little to spiritual laziness, which has eternal consequences. So now let's go to the Proverbs 14 and verse 4, where we have a similar thought to that previous proverb. In Proverbs 14 and verse 4, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes from the strength of an ox. For not wanting to spend the money for an oxen, or for an ox, I should say, or to put forth the effort to clean up after one, or to care for one, or to feed one, a lazy person is not going to have an ox. It's too much trouble. Well, of course, this is said in the context of the economy of Israel, which was agricultural. And for a farmer not to invest in an ox and to not put forth the effort to care for that ox is going to lead to him being hungry when it comes harvest time. In order to save a little work, he has actually caused himself more work and more hardship because he was lazy. The wise farmer understands that with a little investment in an ox, with a little necessary work that takes to feed him and to care for him, it's a dirty job, and you have to clean the stalls, and you have to provide him with feed. But he also knows that because of all that work, the work that ox does, that he's going to receive from all the plowing that he does a bountiful harvest. And so he's smart enough to understand, yes, there's an investment here, yes, there's work involved, but the rewards far outweigh the sacrifices. And that's just a basic truth in natural endeavors, but how much more in spiritual endeavors? I'll read a commentary that basically makes the same comment on this passage. It says, if a farmer has no oxen for plowing, the manger is in his barn is empty and therefore clean. But by spending time and money to feed and clean up after oxen, he will have plenty of food and abundant harvest because of the strong oxen's plowing. Meaningful results of any kind require investing money, time, and work. And that's true in spiritual things as well. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 18. If we are going to serve the Lord as we should, in a way that honors Him, it will involve sacrifice on your part. And that's looking at it from the human standpoint. When you look at it from the perspective of what God has provided for us and His grace and His wisdom and His power, all of which are freely given to us abundantly, it's really hard for us to even call anything that we do a sacrifice. When you understand that the Son of God left glory to come here to save us, now that's a sacrifice. But anything that we do, it is simply, as Paul put it, our reasonable service. But nonetheless, from our standpoint, there are sacrifices. There are costs involved. But the rewards are great and far exceed whatever sacrifice you think you have to make. Romans 8:18. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, saints, these passages are so familiar to many of us, and we must always be careful to take time to meditate on these promises. Do we really believe that? Because I know from experience that when you're going through a trial and when you're going through difficulties and when it seems like everything and everyone is against you, you begin to be tempted to think, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it to be faithful to God when all of these other things seem to negate what we are doing? But I believe the promise just as it's stated. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there's sacrifice. Yes, there's labor. But the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with that abundant harvest that awaits us. Let's go to Galatians 6 and verses 9 and 10. Once again, these are New Testament doctrinal statements that are in complete agreement with the wisdom of the Proverbs of the Old Testament. This is why it's so important for us to value and esteem the Proverbs, because they are a revelation of the will of God that leads to His best for time and for eternity. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary in cleaning out the ox's trough. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if you're tempted, or the next time you're tempted to begin to say, you know, enough's enough. You know, I'm tired of getting hit, tired of getting ignored, I'm tired of a lot of things. Remember these promises and remember the wisdom of Proverbs and understand the investment now that you make is not just for this life. There are benefits in this life for godly living, faithful service. But the fullness is yet to come, and it will be abundant. Proverbs 14 and verse 23. Do you believe what I just said, by the way? Is it just words? Or do we really understand this is who we are, and this is our hope? I pray that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, would make it real to us and make it personal. Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The English Standard Version translates that verse this way. In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. once again, true in natural endeavors and spiritual endeavors. Jesus gives a similar proverb that teaches a spiritual lesson in Matthew 21. Let's turn there and read Jesus' parable of wisdom. It's not enough to give lip service to the things of the Lord. Idle, empty chatter, there's no profit to it. In fact, it leads to poverty. Matthew 21, verse 28, there are several lessons, and Jesus is primarily teaching. His primary lesson here is a little different than this proverb, but we still see the principle of idle chatter not being profitable. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it, and he went. And he actually worked. He labored. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said and the son said to him, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believe him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." The religious of Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were like the second son that said, "Yes, we'll do the will of the Father. We'll do the will of God." But when Jesus came proclaiming he was there to fulfill the will of God, and that the will of God was for them to believe in him, they didn't do the work of God, which was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus told them, you know, it's not enough for you religious Pharisees to say you honor God, that you serve God, that you do the will of God. It's idle talk, and it leads to spiritual poverty. But the harlots and the tax collectors and those that the Pharisees considered to be sinners of society, it's true, they did openly rebel against the Father and say, "I don't care what his will is, I'm going to live my life." But when John came, many of them repented and then did do the will of God, which was what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the lesson that Jesus was teaching by this parable. But the same principle is true for spiritual growth in the life of the believer. There are those that talk big about spiritual things and about spiritual desires and spiritual understanding, but they labor little in the things that really matter to God. They dedicate themselves little to the activities and the attitudes that actually lead to spiritual growth and actually are a submission to the will of God. And God is not impressed with spiritual talk. There's an individual that I've had a lot of dealings with that I've coined a little phrase that to me pictures exactly what she likes to do, and it's called spiritual doublespeak. It's a lot of hallelujahs, a lot of praise the Lord's, a lot of this and a lot of that, and very little of doing the will of God, of obeying God's instruction in his word. And God's not impressed with spiritual doublespeak. He's not impressed with idle chatter about religious service and faithfulness. But he is thrilled when his children simply do the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Sister Miller, a couple of Sundays ago now, she gave me a list of some funny sayings, and one of them that I really like because it hits home in some areas. Many Christians want to serve the Lord, but only as advisors. Yep, seen that, heard that. They're big about knowing what the will of God is for everybody else, but to hear the word of God for them, that's too much work, too much sacrifice. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. If we want God's best for ourselves, if we want to bring him the greatest glory, it will involve toil. labor. The Apostle Paul uses the word agonize on occasion in his writing. And it pictures for us the Greek word that he uses is that of a wrestler. And you see the strain and the sweat and the putting forth of effort to achieve a goal. Do we do that spiritually? Or do we just like to talk about spiritual things? Luke 10:2 says, "Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.'" Now, the advisors are innumerable. "But the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And be willing, when the Lord answers that prayer and he taps you on the shoulder, you be willing to respond and say, 'Here am I.'" 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding." These are New Testament terms for the heading of industriousness that we had in our booklet in Proverbs. The opposite of being spiritually lazy is to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, there's sacrifice. Yes, there's toil. But it's not in vain. And the blessings are eternal. The reward is eternal. And it honors the one who died for you. And that if we don't remember that the underlying motivation for all this toil and labor and sacrifice, if we don't remember it's because we love Jesus, then all of that toil and labor is in vain anyway. But when we do it because we love him who first loved us, we understand that, yes, there's labor, there's investment, but let's not just talk about it. Let's do the will of God. May we not be guilty of providing only lip service to the work of the Lord, but may we truly dedicate time, energy, resources to the endeavors that we know are going to produce eternal wealth for the glory of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 15, verse 19 is the next one in the list. Proverbs 15, excuse me, and verse 19. "The way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway." And the thought there, Brother Freestone, from time to time has given us the explanation of the Old Testament understanding of a highway. And that was simply to raise it up above the terrain with packed rocks and dirt, and to get it so it's a smooth path rather than all the ruts and the things of a natural terrain. So the thought here is that the way of a lazy man is like having a path that is completely overgrown with thorns, bushes of thorns. Well, anybody tried to get through a row of bushes of thorns? It's painful and it's slow going. As opposed to the way of the upright, which is smooth, and you make progress easily and quickly. Laziness makes your life harder. And this is the irony of laziness, because lazy people are lazy because they don't want to work. Natural things, spiritual things, same thing. They don't want to put forth the effort because it's too hard. But the only problem with that is laziness leads to a hard life. It makes your life harder. You create for yourself and for those around you unpleasant and unwanted problems because of your laziness. Because you don't take care of your responsibilities promptly and efficiently for the glory of the Lord, your life's going to get harder. And once your troubles start to multiply, you get behind on this, you lose that. Things begin to multiply, and your progress in life becomes as difficult as trying to walk through a hedge of thorn bushes. It's painful, and it's slow. And saints, I can point to example after example of the reality of this in natural things and in spiritual things. Now, in contrast to those that are lazy, those that are faithful, the righteous, those who do what's right in God's sight and who are prompt to fulfill their obligations, their life tends to be easier concerning their spiritual growth, at least. It doesn't mean that there's not any suffering, as we've already had. But it means that there is spiritual progress rather than the hindrance of the thorn bushes. You have progress because you're traveling on a raised highway with fewer obstacles. Proverbs 16, verse 26. So the next time you're tempted to be lazy, spiritually or otherwise, because you think it'll be easier, in the long run, make it easy on yourself and do what you need to do. Fulfill your responsibilities, your obligations, as unto the Lord. Proverbs 16 in verse 26. The person who labors, labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. There's a paraphrase that says this: appetite is an incentive to work, and hunger makes you work all the harder. The Apostle Paul actually used this incentive in 2 Thessalonians 3, in verses 10 to 12, to encourage people not to be lazy, but to work. 2 Thessalonians 3, in verses 10 to 12. The Apostle Paul clearly understood and knew the Proverbs, was familiar with its wisdom. So he said in verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 3, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Well, if you want to eat, that means you're going to work. So it motivates you. "For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread." So once again, we have wisdom of Proverbs echoed in the New Testament. Proverbs 18 in verse 9. This is an interesting observation, one that I wish I could teach some of God's people. "He who is slothful, lazy in his work, is a brother," in other words, he's the same kind, "to him who is a great destroyer." One commentary reads this way: "A person who does his work poorly or carelessly is a brother or similar to one who destroys. A poor or unfinished job differs little from a project that someone demolished. Both projects are valueless." Kids, I'll give you an example of how this works in the natural. Let's say that you have a book report that's due on Friday. And because of a lack of diligence, in other words, because you were lazy, you didn't even read the book until Friday morning at breakfast. And then you hurriedly write down two or three sentences for your book report and you hand it in. What's going to happen? What's your teacher going to say about that book report? I know your teacher, Maddie. What would your teacher say about that? She wouldn't accept it, would she? She would say, "This is incomplete and this is a worthless book report." All right. Now let's change the scenario a little bit. Let's say you got the assignment on Monday. Book report's due on Friday. Well, Monday afternoon, you're reading that book. By Tuesday, you finish the book. On Wednesday, you write the report. On Thursday, you look it over and, this is, I'll make a few adjustments and this is good. And then you wake up Friday morning and while you are eating breakfast, your little brother tears up your report. Now, you go into school and unless you have a really understanding teacher who believes you, how much is that report going to be worth? You're still going to receive a big fat zero. So this is what this proverb is saying. The only difference between a lazy person and the results of their laziness and one who is destructive is that you are the one who has brought destruction to yourself because of your own laziness. Now we have a destroyer in the spiritual realm. Now, again, these things, kids, you need to apply these things to your schoolwork, to your chores at home. Don't be lazy. Be prompt. Be efficient. But how much more in the spiritual realm for all of us of any age? We need to understand that we have an enemy that wants to destroy the spiritual fruit in our life. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to destroy the things that will bring God glory and that will cause us to grow spiritually. But we don't have to fear the destroyer. He can't tear up my book report. He can't destroy my testimony if I apply the protections that I have been given in the Word of God. James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm not afraid of the destroyer. James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, the destroyer, and he will flee from you. He can't destroy you. He can't rob you of God's best if you will humbly submit yourself to God and resist the devil by doing the will of God. Now, sadly, many of God's people don't. And because of that, they allow the enemy to have his way. But we don't have to. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 11. Just so you know that we don't have to fear the one that wants to destroy us. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's come to do, Jesus said. But we have protections from the destroyer. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to what? His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sadly, the worst enemy and the worst destroyer of spirituality among Christians is not Satan. It's God's people's own laziness. Because they don't appropriate, they don't lay hold of, they don't implement the provisions of God's grace to enjoy a life of victory and a life of godliness. It's not because they can't. It's not because it's not available or provided. It's because they're too lazy to put on the armor of God. And saints, we've all been guilty of it. But this is the destroyer that destroys more of God's people than anything else. May the Lord help us to surrender ourselves to the provisions of God's grace that protects us from the destroyer and causes us to faithfully serve the Lord with all of its eternal benefits. Well, I think we'll close there this evening.